Welcome to Luminescence Common Sense Spirituality, a show designed to share spiritual insights with you so that you can comprehend the universe and how it functions. You are about to experience raised consciousness. This is a place where spiritual principles are shared with the goal of assisting you to expand your understanding of both the seen and unseen worlds. Luminescence Common Sense Spirituality helps you to discern the timeless truths handed down from wise sages through the ages from the airy-fairy nonsense that is being taught today. Now, here is your host, Sharon Lynn Wyeth.
Welcome to Luminescence Common Sense Spirituality, the radio show that disseminates esoteric knowledge and common sense spirituality. I'm Sharon Lynn Wyeth, creator of Namology Science, the ability to know all about a person's personality and the soul's purpose simply from their name. The beautiful inspirational song you just heard is called Shine. It's by Dee Lemoore, and you can hear more of her music by visiting her website at dlemoore.com. She's also available on all streaming platforms, and you spell Lemoore, or Dee Lemoore is D, and then L-E-M-O-R. Our topic today is exploring the inner self. How do we access our inner self during these tumultuous times that we're all living through? And why is it important right now? Why and how does the inner self give answers? How do you define energy? What kinds of difference might this make in the world if more people access their inner selves? Okay, now I know that with meditation, when San Diego did an experiment with TM and they got over 10% of their city meditating, the crime rate dropped tremendously. And then they had a bunch of TM meditators all go to Washington, D.C. and meditate. It wasn't dropping fast enough, so they brought in more meditators and Washington, D.C. went down. Now, this was done quite a while back. But what they say is that when 10% of a city is meditating, the crime rate goes down. So we want to know, how does that work? And how do you make your third eye work? Our special guest today is Julia Griffin. Now, Julia is known internationally for her ability to enlighten others to find their true self and become conscious co-creators through practical application of universal law. Her teachings embody advanced concepts for those who want to deepen their understandings of co-creation and their own personal reality. She has a deep understanding of energetics based on extensive studies. She's an alchemist, astrologer, herbalist, and a Reiki master. Julia has the ability to communicate with plants and animals besides people. She lived with wolves for 9 years while developing her intuitive abilities. Julia was a contributing writer for Spirit of Matt, and many of her articles are still there. Julia's services include counseling sessions and classes, which teach students to align their focus on identifying the feeling of the soul and then following their inner path. And that's what we want to talk about today. Julia, welcome to Luminescence. So nice to have you here with me.
It is so wonderful to be with you. Let me talk a little bit about me, and that is that I have always been very intuitive. Even as a child, sometimes I would know what was going to happen in the future, what was happening energetically. And it was never like a really comfortable thing. I would wonder, why is this happening? Why do I know things that other people don't? What is going on? Then I met the wolves, and they are probably the most psychic beings that I have ever met. And one of the first things that they taught me was that things are only important when they resonate with the soul, or the heart, or who you truly are. So let me give you a few quick examples of that. One example would be, we've all had one incredibly beautiful, wonderful day in our lives. That was created from your inner self. We've all had moments of breakthrough, when we suddenly knew more, we knew the right direction to go in, or we knew the answer. That comes from your inner self. We've all had moments of intense love. Maybe you had a baby. Maybe you fell in love for the first time. Maybe you realized that something was your passion. That comes from your inner self. Now, if we're talking about meditation, it is that very quiet, still feeling that we get within ourselves. When the world stops moving, when we go deeply enough into ourselves, we cannot feel the energy around us. And we all know that it's been very turbulent for the past year. And it will continue through this year. This year, we call it more erratic than turbulent. But it is still going in that direction. So what happens when you get quiet? Just for a moment, just imagine a line going down the center of your body and pull all the energy in the room back into you. Pull all your thoughts back into you. Pull all your emotions back into you. Become aware of your body. And notice how it's still. There's only you, and it feels really good. See how it gets quieter? You can't hear anything but you. If you stay in this state, the universe begins to send you more energy, more light, more love, more insights, and makes your path become clear to you. Now, imagine just, let's say, out of the entire United States, we have 1 million people who are doing this right now. Think of how much love and light is being emitted into the world. Now, when love and light are emitted into the world, two incredible things happen. The first one is that we hit the quantum field, which is the home place of love and light, all things spiritual, some astral things, but there's a completely different set of rules. The rules from the quantum field, if you're on a higher vibration, are that things start to happen in a good way. There's spontaneous healing. There are answers. You think of a person and they call you. You're looking for something that shows up. People express their appreciation to you. Everything begins to happen smoothly. So let's go back to 1 million people are in this place at one time. Whenever there's more light and love, everything feels better. It moves in a more positive and constructive direction. Now, I'm not asking 1 million people to sit down and do this every day, but I am asking special people like you who already have light to commit to this 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes a day. Because when you emanate that love and light, all the people who can receive it are immediately lifted up and they turn on their light. We've talked, there's a lot of talk about the group initiative and a collective awakening. Well, it doesn't happen because all of a sudden we're lifted up. It happens because individuals like you commit to turning on your light and love and to following the path of your inner self. It's also called a true self, and Plato wrote about it. So far back in time, all the way through.
Okay, it looks like we just lost Julia for a moment. So, and as Chris, our wonderful producer, is getting her back. Oh, well, we don't have any sound. Isn't that, I don't know. Would you mind trying calling her again and seeing if she catches it that way? In the meantime, I want to talk to you about meditation. There are so many different ways of meditation. I started off with transcendental meditation, which is a process that's very well defined and you're guided through it. So it's a wonderful way for a beginner to start. Then I progressed from transcendental meditation, which was 20 minutes a day, twice a day. And I did that for years. I always did it when I first got up, and then I would do it before I would eat dinner at night. And so it was always, to me, have to meditate, then you get to eat. So if you're hungry, better sit down and meditate, so that then you can start, you know, and have your dinner afterwards. It was always like a constant reminder because it was consistently done for me. And then after I did transcendental meditation for years, I moved on to Jack Purcell's, he channels Lazarus, and I moved on to his tapes. And he would have half an hour of discussion or a topic, and then he would have a half an hour meditation. I found both incredibly productive. If you're interested in those today, instead of having to buy each tape, cassette tape, which is, let you know, that my age and the cost of that, he now has a monthly plan and you can listen to anything and they're all online. And Jack is spelled J-A-C-H, and Purcell is P-U-R-C-E-L, if you're interested in that form of meditation. Then, from Jack Purcell, I started experimenting with different ways that Ram Dass had written about in his book, where he had 360 different kinds of meditation, so you could do a different one every day if you wanted to during the year. And he had both quiet meditations, which is what we think of as going within and being still, and he had active meditations. And I thought it was incredible that you could have an active meditation, like something that you're doing that's redundant for your mind, like ironing or like washing dishes or something, and that there's no distractions and your mind automatically goes into meditation. From there, I went to the Monroe Institute and then to Dr. Eugene Whitworth's meditation. So I've done a lot of variances once, and there's so many different ways to do it. But we've got Julia back on the line. So Julia, welcome back.
Welcome back. Where did I leave off exactly?
You left off with, imagine if all of us or a million people were meditating every day and we didn't have to do it like more than 5 or 10 minutes a day.
Right. Just 5 or 10 minutes a day when it hits you. Because when you do that, you are opening up a path for change. When we meditate on light, the quantum field actually opens. And that's the place of miracles. When enough people are meditating on light at a certain time, things start to correct themselves and to run into a higher balance. Now, what do I mean by that? We talked about the crime decreasing. If you're doing this in your daily life, you're going to find that things start to go right. Also, that you meet people who are on a higher frequency. Now, here's the thing about meditating with love and light on a regular basis. When you do that, everyone else picks up on it. Everybody else who's capable of seeing and feeling light, as you do, picks up on it and emanates more light. The vibration raises. All of us have probably been in a class or a show where you really got into a high vibration and you felt wonderful and everything just seemed right for a while. Well, when enough people do it, it will stay that way. The other thing is, as I said before, we won't pick up on that very jangled collective energy.
Have you found, Julia, that since you became a meditator and you spent so much time with the wolves, that even when outside of you with politics or decisions that employers are making or whatever, that you're still staying very calm inside of you?
Yes, more and more. And I notice when I'm starting to feel stressed, and the first thing that I think about is my heart, because your heart space or your heart chakra is in the center of the 7 chakras. So it's the center of your spiritual being. So if you start thinking about your heart and breathing through your heart, everything begins to become quiet. That chaos cannot come within you when you're in that place.
Well, I just look at it also that if we trust the universe, that there is a plan of sorts, even though it could be totally unidentifiable to us at different times, and sometimes it becomes clear, that if you trust that the universe has our back and we're all here for a purpose, I think that helps to keep us calm also, to know that there is a plan of sorts, even if we don't know it and can't see it, that it's not random chaos.
Definitely. And because I can see light, I can tell you, as odd as it may sound, there is a lot more light on the Earth. Right now, it's sort of like it's a dark planet and all this light is coming down and it swirls around and everybody feels confused. Here's the thing about your path. If you're meditating and focusing on your heart, the universe is always going to show you at least the next step. Maybe that's as far as you can see. Maybe you don't know why you're going in that direction. A good example is before I started doing readings, I studied Chinese herbology and Ayurvedic herbology, already knew Western herbology, but that's all about reading energy. So when I finished studying after 5 years, I was like, and now I do not like being an herbalist. I wonder why I felt like that was the right thing for me to do. Well, then when I started reading people, I thought, well, of course, because like Chinese herbology reads things as hot and cold, as up and down, and all these different variations of energy. It was teaching me about energy. It wasn't about becoming an herbologist. but I did need that step.
Well, and that's very important. And I think also a lot of times when it looks like we're going zigzag or crooked, or people ask me a lot in my readings is, how do I get back on path? And I think you're never off of path. Your soul wouldn't let you get off of path. It may look like a detour. It may look like you're off of path, but it's really that you just got off. I look at it, our path is like a set of train tracks, and that you get off the train sometimes to go look at the area around you and see what you can glean before you get back on the train to keep going. And that's perfectly acceptable to take breaks.
And detours are okay because you learn on them. You learn with them.
Yes.
You learn a lot about yourself, and you learn whether or not you want to go in that direction. And maybe your soul didn't want to go in that direction, but the person you are in this incarnation does. And you learn enough so that you're so glad to re-embrace that path when you get back to it.
Well, and it also makes you more aware of others that are choosing a different path than what you're doing, and it gives you more understanding. We are at our first break. When we come back with Julia Griffin, we're going to define energy and what the world may look like if we're using our energy with more consciousness. Stay tuned.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
Mark Twain said the two most important days in your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. The why is hidden in your name. Sharon Lynn Wyeth has created a scientific way of deciphering your name to reveal your contract for this lifetime. And your name even specifies the seven areas that are subsets of your soul's overall goal. Your name identifies who you are to both yourself and others. What does your name say about you? Contact Sharon Lynn Wyeth at info@knowthename.com for your stunning name review.
These are the sounds of a dinner. A dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
Welcome back to Luminescence, Common Sense Spirituality. This is your host, Sharon Lynn Wyeth, and our special guest today is Julia Griffin, who's been able to talk with animals and plants, and besides just people, very intuitive. We would call her incredibly psychic. Julia, welcome back. And my first question for you on this part of the show is, how do we use our energy more consciously so that it not only works better for us, but also works better for everyone around us?
Okay, I'm going to give a very simple exercise, and it may take a while for people to get this, but pink light is actually love. So like right now, let's imagine that we're filled with pink light, that all the particles of the furniture, our pets, if they're in the room, everything is filled with pink light. And let's let in universal love. And let it flow into us. And then anything you want to send that love to, send it. maybe a friend who's having a difficult day, maybe to some part of yourself that has a conflict about doing something that you want to do, maybe to a friend. And just imagine that love going to them. That's one way of helping. Another simple way of helping is simply to imagine that you're surrounded by light. There's a circle of light around you, light from the universe, like a sunbeam is pouring into that circle. And we're expanding that circle out for about a mile. And that gives us protection and light and energy. Now, about energy. Because of the way that we've been programmed as human beings, we very rarely remember to use our energy positively. So if I feel a little tired, I might say to myself, in a couple hours, I'm going to have so much more energy. Or in a couple hours, I'm going to finish this project. I'm going to feel really good in my body in a couple of hours. Or maybe I make it the next day. When something's wrong, I try to see the opposite of that. It won't always work, but it does work a lot of the time. So if I'm in a lot of traffic, I'll stop, I'll slow down, I'll become still, I'll see the traffic moving. If I'm going out to shop, I'll imagine that I get through the line very quickly, and I imagine that people treat me harmoniously as I do with them. So you can see right away, if a lot of us were doing this, first of all, our frustrations would go away. Second of all, as we reside in a higher place of consciousness energetically, we're going to become more abundant. And I know I don't know any light workers who are not generous. They're all generous. They all want to do things to support the earth. And whether they know it or not, they have wonderful ideas. So I think we would live in some way that we were closer to the earth. I think that probably everyone would be fed. We might start curing illnesses or things like that by simply holding good pictures or sending light. So those would be a few things that come to mind.
I know that when you mentioned traffic, that my kids used to always tell me, Mama, how come no cars ever like to be by our car when we're driving on the road? And I said, it's actually a wonderful thing that no cars want to be close to us while we're driving on the road. And I said, that's because when somebody needs some light and they don't know how to get it, and they get desperate for love, acceptance, light, understanding, they will subconsciously sense who's driving near them that has a lot of light. And they will come and cut you off, trying mm-hmm. to get your attention to send them a prayer. But the majority of people get irritated that that person just cut me off type of thing. And then they're right. sending anything but love and light. And I mm-hmm. told my kids, I said, so what I do as we're coming down the freeway, I think of myself as one of those sprinklers. And I literally sprinkle out and spray out instead of water. I'm spraying out the light everywhere around. And I said, that way, no car has to come try to get close or cut me off because they're already getting their fulfillment of light. And I said, that's why it always looks like I'm driving in a bubble with no cars around me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are lots of exercises like this we can do. We haven't trained our minds to do them. A fun one is every time I spend money the right way, twice as much money comes back to me. Money is energy. People don't understand that.
I always say you vote with your money. What products you buy, you're saying, yes, I like this. And mm-hmm. so everywhere we use our money, it's like voting and endorsing whatever it is that we're spending our money on. So, Julia, how in the inner side, if somebody hasn't meditated before, what do you suggest they start with or how they go about that?
I like to go outside. I sit on the deck and I look at the trees and I just try to become very quiet and focus on my heart and not think of anything. Just keep coming back to yourself. Every time you have a thought, come back to your heart. And after you do that for a while, you'll become very quiet. The other thing that you can do is to meditate on something that you really, really want with your heart. It can't just come from the ego. It's got to be a heartfelt desire. But that can be motivating, too, because it takes a lot of focus to visualize something that you really want.
So how do you define energy? If you had to give it a definition, How do you define energy?
Okay, well, we know everything in our universe is actually light, tiny particles of light that are spinning at different frequencies. And what we experience as material reality is simply light that's spinning at a slower rate. That rate is so slow that it takes on shape, and we think that we can feel it and that it's real. And sometimes we think the other world isn't real. So I think energy is just like what animates everything, but underneath it, it's composed of light. It happens to people at some point. You actually can see the light underneath all material things. So everything is composed of light. The difference is when you awaken, you tend to want that energy at a higher frequency where it's positive. And okay. You also want the kind of energy that helps you to understand more.
Yes, absolutely. And you want to have plenty of energy throughout your entire day.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so how does the inner self give you answers?
If you focus on that stillness long enough, and then you start thinking about where you need help or where you need an answer, it may come in passively. In other words, the answer may come into you. Something may change, or you'll start to receive clues and intuitions about what you should do or where you should go next. So when you're receiving intuitions, you're hearing your inner self. That's where all intuition comes from. And just as far as distracting the mind, sometimes I'll tell myself, I don't know how to get to the solution yet, but I know there is a solution. And notice how when I say that, there is a solution. It's a completely different kind of energy from having a problem.
You know, that's funny because when I was in the classroom and the kids would go, I don't know. When I call on them for an answer and they go, I don't know. And I go, if you did know, what would it be? Mm-hmm. And they come up with the answer.
Right. So it's changing where we place our consciousness, I think, is a good way to say that.
Okay. So let's say everybody's doing everything they know how to do. How do they make their third eye work better?
Okay, third eye, you can perceive either the astral or the spiritual world. If you have people who usually give you negative things or what they tell you is maybe 50-50, you know, 50% of the time it's right, 50% of the time it's not, they're probably seeing the astral world. Now, with the third eye, for me, that really came with practice because I started off reading different wolf hybrids for different owners. And I would get pictures, and I would just tell people what I saw. And the more I did it, the more clearly it came in. So part of it is going to be practice. Another part of it is believing that you can do it. One of the things that you can do, let's see, would be, say you have a person stand up. Maybe you can't see their aura yet, but you can see the light around them. You might ask yourself, what color are those auras? When we move into gardening in a couple months, you can look at plants and ask, what would that plant's aura be like? And then you imagine something. And it starts to correct itself over time. And obviously, you can do that with animals as well.
Is it easier to see the auric field during sunrise and sunset if you're not practiced at doing it?
Yes. Because those are the openings in the world. Just like everyone, we're so lucky we're going to talk on the full moon. For everyone, the spiritual and psychic world is much more open on the new and full moons.
You know,
as well as the equinox and solstice.
This is the part of our show that if you have a question for Julia about any of the topics we've discussed today, you're welcome to call in. Our number is 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. Okay, so Julia, let's say somebody just has really good intentions and they don't know about the universal laws and they don't know a lot of the things that you would know, but they have really good intentions and they're basically a good person. What can that person do to advance themselves up and raise their own consciousness?
Okay, with starting with that, I think the first thing is the recognition that they have a good heart. Because most people who want to do that and have good intentions have very beautiful heart spaces. they are probably not aware that they lift other people up simply by being there. So smiling and speaking to people, knowing that their energy is uplifting to people in general, they can work on that. They can work on learning how to extend their heart energy, and they can do more of whatever it is that they love to do. All those things would increase their energy.
Okay, so it may sound like a basic question, but tell us again why we want to increase our energy.
When you increase your energy, the invisible world becomes more obvious. You can see it more easily. And the indigenous world, if we want to go, let's just take Native Americans, although many cultures say this, when you begin to be able to see energy and see the invisible world, it actually means that you have accumulated spiritual energy within yourself. So the more you can hear, the more you can see, the more you have already accumulated energy.
I love that how you said spiritual energy, because I immediately thought versus the physical energy. Mm-hmm. You know, and that there is a difference.
There's a very big difference.
So in your awareness, how do you define consciousness? Is that the same thing as just being more aware, or is it different?
Well, I see that there are different levels of it. Like lower consciousness would be everybody watching the news together, you know, the nightly prayer show, which is really not very good. There's daily consciousness where everyone's sort of on the same channel of getting through life, buying things, cooking dinner, functioning. And then there's a level of higher consciousness where you have the awareness that you want to make a change in your life so that you can move more into that spiritual consciousness.
You know, many people have had pretty tough childhoods. And since our childhood so defines us in so many ways and comes back at different times when we think we've cleared everything and we've healed to haunt us or pushes a button in us, what would you say to people on why they have challenging childhoods?
I'm going to say that most people who are really good intuitives do have really bad childhoods and do have difficulties. I suspect that one, if there is such a thing as reincarnation, and I tend to believe that there is, we take on as much karma as we can and we decide to get through it when we're children. The next thing is that if we really grow and we decide we're going to expand and become who we truly are, our inner self, that we have to work through those things. When we work through those things, we're not just doing it for us, we're doing it for other people. And it lifts up people who are not strong enough to do it for themselves. Also, you develop this tremendous focus of being able to get through obstacles and of looking for new solutions if you get through it.
I always thought that having a hard childhood growing up also would tend to make somebody want answers and make them mm-hmm. seekers. What do you think?
Oh, I definitely agree. And the other thing is, I mean, I think I was 4 when I realized that there was another larger consciousness that people called God that would actually help me. That couldn't change anything that was going on in my life, but it could make me feel free from it.
Well, I remember becoming a voracious reader because I wanted answers. I was so mm-hmm. miserable as a kid, all until I was 13 and I started reading the Bible every night. And as this audience knows, then every year I picked a different big book because I wanted to learn all about the different religions. But I wanted answers. I wanted to know why was life so hard.
Or why it worked some of the time and other times it didn't, and why some people suffered and why some people didn't. I mean, it definitely makes you ask very big questions.
Right. And as I started reading and started learning, life became easier. Mm-hmm. And when what people would call horrible things would happen, I would look at it differently than as, oh, this is horrific, or, oh, this is whatever. It was more like curiosity. How can I be of assistance? And isn't it interesting that this person is choosing to go through this experience at this time? I wonder what they wanted to learn.
Mm-hmm. I know one thing that always amazed me was that adults were always saying they wanted things and I would focus on it and those things would manifest, but it didn't make them happy. So my big question was, why doesn't it make people happy when they get what they want? And so that later I learned that was because those things were not in alignment with the inner self.
Oh, isn't that fascinating?
Yeah.
So talk to us about that process of focusing on what it is that you're desiring, and so that how you can create that.
When you want something, this is how you want to see it. Think about being a child, and all you do all day long is think about this thing you want with all these happy feelings and what it would be like to have it. And it's helpful if you can think about your heart when you're thinking about it. And it goes faster if you sit outside because nature helps you with it. You don't have to do that. But you put yourself in the place that you're actually living in that experience. Say you want a different house. All right, so when you're imagining it, you're not living in your house. You're living in the house that you want. If you want another job and you're at work and you catch yourself thinking, oh, I really don't like this job, you would say, no, I'm manifesting something different. And you would see yourself in the dream job. So you want to take about 15 minutes, 10 or 15 minutes, and make it like you're living in the most beautiful dream possible. And it will come.
Is that what, like, vision boards, people do vision boards to remind themselves of doing that same thing? Is that a similar, way of doing
this? Vision board for me has never worked, but I'm a very visual person. I like my own images better than anything that I can find somewhere else. So the thing that I've found about it is that as you work on your visuals, if you're doing it correctly, the universe makes little adjustments. Let's go back to the house thing. Let's say that I'm imagining I'm walking into a big foyer. The universe might change it so that the front door opens into the living room, or I'm going through a door into a big kitchen, or the colors are all different from what I thought. Because the universe will adjust to visualization if you're doing it correctly.
See, I always find all of that very fascinating. We will be back right after this next commercial break with Julia, our wonderful guest, with more information on how you can connect with the inner self. Stay tuned.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Are you feeling lost, confused, absolutely clueless? No way out, over, under, or through? Then it's time to have the Light Keepers, through their conduit, Sharon Lynn Wyeth, guide you by shining their light, illuminating the right path for you. Let Sharon share the wisdom of the ancient masters to guide you on what is coming next for you and to show you the silver lining in your current circumstances. Contact Sharon Lynn Wyeth at info@knowthename.com for a joyful, info-packed Light Keepers session.
The United States has the highest rate of incarceration in the world. At the Equal Justice Initiative, we believe mass incarceration has to end. There is this presumption of dangerousness and guilt that gets assigned to Black and brown people. We have to confront our history of racial injustice and commit to a new era of truth. There's something better waiting for us, something that feels more like freedom. Truth can inspire change. Please learn more at EJI.org.
Welcome back to Luminescence, Common Sense Spirituality. I'm your host, Sharon Lynn Wyeth, and our wonderful guest today is Julia Griffin. Julia, how if somebody wanted to start speaking with animals like you do, and they've been meditating and they've been reading and they've been on their spiritual path, how would they go about communicating with the animals or understanding animals like in the way that you do?
Okay, the first thing that really surprised me when I could hear animals was that I was already very intuitively connected. And I think if you want to talk to animals, you probably already are. For example, I would think I should change the dog's water. If I could have heard the dog in the past, the dog would have said, I need new water. Or I would think, not time to feed the dogs, but I think I'll go ahead and do it. But in fact, they were sending me a message. It's cold out here. We're hungrier than usual. Can you feed us now? So most of the things that you're thinking, or if you suddenly decide to change the color of the leash or the bowl or the pillow for your cat, they are literally asking for that. I find that most people already do that. So you're already hearing it. You're just not aware of it. So one thing that you can do is you can lie down with your pet and pet them and get really close to them, however you connect, and let them know that you want to hear their voice. If you have a feeling, look at the animal. See if the feeling comes back again, because they're definitely speaking to you. Sometimes I'll say to my pet, say it again, and they'll say it again, because I don't always hear it, or I don't always hear it the first time. So that is a way of beginning with that, is knowing that you already have the skills and you're probably using them.
Does that help? That's really cool, because a lot of people are very intuitive with their pets.
Mm-hmm. So they're literally hearing them. We just haven't been taught how to do it. That was what really amazed me.
How do you know when you're hearing yourself think, or you're hearing guidance or spirit or your animals?
Okay, if it's my animal, they usually have voices that are their own. Like I have a really big black German Shepherd, and he has a really deep voice, so I know when it's him. The cats sound a little more alike, so they're a little more difficult to discern. When I hear that I should do something or that something is a certain way, I check. I actually muscle test. I'll say, is this my ego? Is this my inner self? Or am I just getting the answer that I want to hear? And a lot of the time it's just the answer I wanted to hear. So I'll start over and go through again with that. Or I'll hold that idea for several days. And if it doesn't seem as crystal clear as it did in the beginning, part of me may have projected it. Part of it may be true. Part of it may not be true. Now, having said that, we also have a voice that's like razor clear, you know, that says, go this way, or you have to do that now. And you can feel that. You know, that's a different tone entirely. And so those are some different ways of working with it.
I always thought that when you're thinking, because sometimes the mind just kind of goes in all different kinds of directions, like when you're driving the car or doing something that's mundane, and that when you're having thoughts and you don't interrupt your own thoughts, you don't stop yourself in the middle of a sentence when you're thinking. But if you get interrupted in the middle of that and all of a sudden the thoughts are going in a totally different direction, I always attribute that to spirit. I think, okay, you know, spirit's attempting to get my attention. I need to pay attention. Where's my thoughts going now?
Right. And you can ask that, you can say, if this is correct, then please repeat the message until I'm really sure. And the universe will do that.
I found that if I attempt to analyze the message while I'm still receiving the message, it stops and it just like disappears. It's only when I can listen to the entire thing and then I write it down before I start thinking about what can it mean or how does this impact me that I actually hear the entire message clearly. Is that what happens for you also?
For me, it will come back if it's a message that I missed and I need to get it. So I don't worry too much about that unless it's something that I need to do pretty quickly. But, you know, you have to work with it. I think it's different for everyone. We all have places where we get stuck. Sometimes I want good things to be true, and that's where I have to muscle test and find out if it's true or not. It's where we have tendencies.
I was going to say, I'm sure that's very tempting exactly for what's happening in our world at this time. Julia, how can people find you?
They can find me at onetrueself.com, O-N-E, trueself.com. And you can sign up for my newsletter there or get in touch with me.
I like that.
It's pretty easy.
And do you accept emails at One True Self?
You can email me at onetrueself@gmail.com. And I'd love to hear from you if you have a question or I can help you in some small way.
I know that you've been on previous radio shows with me and that everybody who has contacted you or had a session with you has reported back to me and everybody has been incredibly pleased with what they've received. So I do want to let everyone who's listening now to know that, because that's always good to hear.
It is always good to hear, and I appreciate your saying it. Thank you.
Yeah. Is there one last thought that you'd like to leave everybody with?
Sure. Work on finding your inner self and sending love and light. You will be so surprised if you just spend 5 or 10 minutes a day on this for a month, and everything in your life will get better.
And when we send love and light, we start with ourselves, right?
Always start with yourself. We want to raise our vibration, and we want to feel love and light before we do anything else. And besides, you deserve it.
Julia, thank you for being with us. So appreciate you.
It was a great pleasure. Thank you.
We always end the show with Dee Lemure's music because it speaks so kindly, and the music itself is magical. And you can find more of her music at her website, dlemore.com, and it's D, and then Lemore is L-E-M-O-R.com. And so please enjoy this music and let it resonate through you and lift your own heart. This music is called Shine, and again, it's by Dee Lemure. This is Sharon Lynn Wyeth signing off.
Gazing in the mirror, an image of an angel smiling back at her. No wounds or imperfections, just beauty and its glow. Her laughter and her heart, a reflection of her soul. And I want to shine like the sun and smile to stop the rain. And I want to dance with the wind and believe in dreams again. Canvas of her, the light slightly dimmed, her reflection unseen, and all that she knew, and all that would be, it vanished like the sun rays on a shimmering sea.